Welcome to the radio broadcast brought to you by the Brummett Church of Christ. We are located at 6694 Highway 26, Rock Oaks, Kentucky, about 7 miles south of Corbin. We invite you to join us for services. We meet at 10 a.m. Sunday for Bible study and at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. for worship services. We also meet for Bible study at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. For more information and sermons, check out the website at brummettchurchofchrist.org. Today's sermon is from Frank Van Zant Jr. We invite you to take your Bible and study along with us. If you have any questions or comments about today's program, you may email them to info@brummettchurchofchrist.org.
Good day, neighbors and friends, and welcome to the broadcast of the Brummett Church of Christ radio broadcast. And my name is Frank Van Zant Jr., and I'd like to welcome you here for the next 30 minutes or so that we may investigate some of the scriptures, that we may understand what the purpose of them are in our life and understand them, how to apply them in our lives and use them in such a way that they guide us and lead us, that would be a way that would be pleasing and acceptable unto God. One day when this life is over, heaven can be our home. I want to study today, and if you will, take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through about 25. And I want to read some scriptures here that Paul wrote concerning himself. And the way they are worded, they are kind of hard to understand until you look at what Paul says at the end, and then that makes them pretty plain. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what which I do I allow not, for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." He said, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God, after with the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God that through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." He was talking about a continuous war that goes on with every Christian, every person who seeks to strive to serve God. He talks about how the flesh is weak and it wants to do that which is wrong. But in our minds and in our hearts, we know the will of God is right. And we should always seek to do it first. And some of the things that we find here he talks about is that struggle between the two. He says that sin is what is responsible for these fleshly desires that we have. He says that the mind or the spirit delights after the law of God, but the flesh after the law of sin. He concludes that it is only through Jesus that we can be delivered from this body of death. So we find that we do have an escape from it, no matter how hopeless it may seem sometimes to us in this life. There is always hope. We have our inner demons, and they are different for different people, but we all have them. My inner demons that I have to deal with from day to day might not be someone else's, but they may also. You know, and I'm not talking about supernatural spirits that enters in and takes control of our body. I'm talking about the simple flesh that we deal with every day that lusts and seeks after that which is sin. And having an awareness of these struggles and encouraging each other to continue the fight will help us go a long way toward defeating those things that are in demons. And moreover, knowing that God's word says, knowing what it says about such things will help us to avoid this sin as well. The writer of Psalms in 119 and verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. God's word is what we need in our hearts and in our minds so that we won't sin against God. When our flesh is weak and it has a desire to fall into the sins out here around us, then we use the word of God to tell us what is right and what is not. And some of these demons that we have, we're going to talk about today, not all of them, but some. And one of them is selfishness. Selfishness is defined as follows. As we see, it's devoted to or carried only for oneself, concerned primarily with one's own interest, benefits, or welfare, regardless of others. So we find this is the definition of selfishness. And so many people are selfish today. So many people, it's easy to let our own personal desires dominate our decisions and disregard the feelings or thoughts of others as we do so. We need to be on guard that we are not doing that. This doesn't mean that we should never have legitimate reasons to be concerned for ourselves, because sometimes we do. We have to be concerned for our health, the well-being of ourselves sometimes, but we should always take into consideration others that are around us. For example, maybe it may be something that I might want to do on Sunday morning instead of coming to services. I know I have a responsibility to come to services. I know I have a responsibility to come and prepare for my duties to preach the gospel and teach Bible study and the different responsibilities that I have in this. And if I became so selfish that I could care less about that and all I wanted was to satisfy my own self, this selfishness would be detrimental to me. It would absolutely destroy me and void me of any chance of ever going to heaven. And, you know, and only being concerned for oneself, when it becomes a dominating force in our life, it can destroy us. And, you know, this does this in people that take drugs, that drink alcohol, that become drug addicts or alcoholics, those committing fornication, those who commit adultery, those who do all these different things out here in the world with disregard to what it does to others. Now, when we do that and we're only thinking about satisfying our own selves, that's selfishness. And the Bible doesn't talk directly about selfishness, per se, but it does tell us about the attitudes involved in both selfish and unselfish behavior, because over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 2 through 5, he says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, trust breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than the lovers of God." He said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, he said, from such turn away. He was talking specifically about a selfish person. Someone who says lovers of their own selves. They're only concerned with what they want and what's good for them. And doing so, they become covetous. They become boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and without natural affection. In other words, they have no feelings for other people. And trust breakers, they lie, they delude people into thinking they're something that they're not. They're false accusers. They tell things on people that are not true. Incontinent, it fears, despisers of those that are good. So these people, when they become selfish, these are some of the, the trademarks of it, or some of the byproducts of it that happens in people's life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 34, he says, "Let no man seek his own, but each his neighbor's good." He said, don't just think about your own self, but see what's good for your neighbor as well. What's good for those around you? Philippians 2 and 4, he says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And in other words, not just what's good for me, but what's good for everyone else. It may be good for me to do something, but it may be harmful to others if I do it. So I have to consider what it does to others as well. People who commit adultery and fornication, they're only concerned with themselves. They don't worry about what it does to their family, to their children, to their jobs, to their welfare, and all these other things. These people who take drugs and drink and so on, they don't consider what it's doing to the lives of others, the families that they break up, the home, what it does to it, and their children and their wives and husbands. And we don't have to let this inner demon of selfishness control our decisions. We have the power to overcome that. In Galatians 6 and 2, he says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When we bear each other's burdens, in other words, consider the effect it has on others and what is happening to others, then we fulfill the law of Christ. Because when Christ came to earth, he didn't come to satisfy himself. He said he came to seek and save the lost. And he was concerned with what it was others was about. And we need to do the same. Another demon that plagues a lot of people today, and in this society we live in, it seems to be more prevalent than ever. And that's greediness. People become so greedy over the things of this life. And it could be money, property. And it all stems from the lack of contentment. No matter how much they have, they want more. It is an excessive desire for wealth in whatever form it may be. This greediness dictates people's lives to the point that they don't even realize it until they're swept under. Many in our society today have this inner demon, and it dictates everything that they do and motivates them in all areas of the life. They must have this item or that, or they must have more money than others or than they used to have, and more toys than anyone else, or they're just not happy. And once they get them, they're still not happy. And you know, this greediness can so blind a person that it makes enemies out of friends and families and everything else, and just isolates themselves from the all that really means anything till they're on their own out here. It will cause us to go back on promises, to lie, to steal, to cheat, and all sorts of things. And Paul talks about this in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9 through 10. He says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, when we hear on the news about, or we see out here in this world about crooked politicians, bribes that are taken, it stems from greediness inside. It's that demon of greediness that causes these people to lie, to sell out, to do all these wrongs, and do all these wrongs to people they are supposed to be serving. Also, we hear of police that are crooked, that have done different things that are wrong. This greediness drives that force. We hear of all these businessmen that have done all these shady deals to make millions of dollars. Greed promotes this and drives this. This is the fuel that they use to do these things. And we need to disarm ourselves of this fuel of greediness and be content with such things as we have. Because we find this in 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 8. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Contentment is a state of mind. It's not objects we have around us. It's not how big a house we have, or how nice a car we drive, or how good of clothes we wear, because it is a state of mind. And I've said this before, when I was young, we were poor. We didn't know we were poor, because everyone else basically was like us around us, but we didn't have a portion, just a small portion of what people have today. But yet, I was happy growing up. I had a happy childhood. I was content with those things, and certainly there were things I seen that I would have liked to had, but if I didn't get them, it wasn't no big deal. And you know, too many times, people let things they may have a desire for a little bit make such a big deal over it that they do so many wrongs to try to obtain that through greediness, and they end up destroying their own selves. We need to learn to be content with what we have. In doing so, if we have food and raiment, in other words, if we have the basics of life, he said, let us be content with it. And Hebrews 13 and 5, he said, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. He tells us if we are a Christian, if we're in Christ Jesus, he will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He said, let our conversation be without covetousness. In other words, greedy and coveting other people's things. He said, and be content with such things as you have. Because the Lord has already promised us in Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. And he was talking about the basics of life. The basic elements of life that we need to live here, he said, will be added unto you. Now, everything over the basic necessities of life is a blessing. Everything that is basic to life itself is given to us through promise. God has promised that to Christians. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Me knowing that, knowing this, then I know as long as I'm a Christian, I'll always have food to eat and I'll always have raiment to put on and shelter to shelter me. I don't have to worry about that because God has promised that to me. And if I cannot trust God in that, how can I ever trust him to save my soul or to raise me from the grave? Philippians 4:11 through 12, he says, not that I speak in respect of want. He said, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You know, we can fight this inner demon of greediness simply being content with what we have. Not worrying so much about what we haven't got, but be content with what we do have. Another demon that plagues people's life today so much is a simple demon of pride. Pride is having a higher opinion of oneself than is warranted. It is a lack of humility. And to have this can cause us to be a person that's not liked, a person that is ready to do things that is going to hurt us and hurt others around us, can often cause us to be baited into doing that which we normally wouldn't do. You know, we used to dare each other when we were children, and we were so full of pride we wouldn't back down from that dare, so we would do things, we would jump off of high places and do certain things that normally we wouldn't do. And it's all this whole game of dare is based upon our pride not to give in. And you know, adults act out upon their pride in a lot of ways that they do as well to just show that they're superior to others. The proverb writer tells us, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall in Proverbs 16 and 18. He says, when we have this pride, we're headed for destruction. And a haughty spirit or a spirit full of pride or uppiness, he said, is fixing to fall. In Romans 12 and 3, he says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to be soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. In other words, he said, get a perspective on who we are. Don't think of ourselves better than what we ought to think. Get rid of this pride. Humility is the opposite of pride. And we'll go a long way in fighting that inner demon of pride if we'll just use it. The writer of James there tells us in James, he said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up in James 4 and 10. Let's let God exalt us. Let's do the humbling of ourselves. Don't make God have to humble us by destruction or by fall. 1 Peter 5 and 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, and under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And in Matthew 23 and 12, he says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. We do the humbling, and he'll do the exalting. We don't have to do it ourselves. Too many times we want to take on the work of God and still the work that is set before us. To fight that inner demon of pride, we need to take on and practice humility. And the other one we want to talk about today is also listed in so many places is lust. It can be sexual lust. It can be a lust after different things of the flesh. 1 John over there talks about these. He says the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the eyes includes greediness, covetousness, different things. Lust of the flesh includes sexual lust. These different things that the flesh desires and has a desire for. And it's a tremendous problem in our society today. We've seen teenage pregnancies. We see AIDS on the rise. We see so many things out here that are leading from this. And we find that there's so many people living together today without commitment to marriage. We find that people are doing so many of these things, and it's because they have the inner demon of lust in them. We find that pornography accelerates this problem in our society today, and it's so accessible today through the internet, through magazines, different ways of getting it, and it only promotes this in people's minds to where it grows and festers and becomes more and more of a problem each day. Matthew 5 and 28, he says that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. He says you don't have to do the physical act in the eyes of God. All you got to have it is in your heart or your intentions. If you had the opportunity, you would. He said you've already done it in the eyes of God. The Bible teaches us that there is a proper place for these desires, and that is simply and namely in marriage. God has given us the bonds of marriage so that we can curb these lusts and we can contain them in a way that is right and natural and a way that it was intended of God to do so. 1 Corinthians 7 and 2, he tells us, he says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, in other words, to avoid falling into these lusts and falling after them and getting into these problems, he said, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. Paul says this is the way to avoid this. The way to fight this inner demon is simply to marry and let every woman have her own husband and every husband have his own wife. 1 Timothy 2 and 9, he says, godly women and men, here he's talking about in 1 Timothy 2 and 9, he said, will be considered of the fleshly desires of the opposite sex in dress and modest apparel, because Paul says here in 1 Timothy 2 and 9, he says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. Now he was talking about don't incite this lust in others by improper dress. And you know, we have people today that needs to learn how to dress themselves. We need women and men alike that needs to know how to dress themselves in such a way that they don't promote this. Instead, we have them dressing specifically to promote it and to make it worse. And he warns against this and not to participate in this. You know, if we are not careful, we'll find ourselves causing others to have this demon in them that don't need to be there. We can fight this inner demon of sexual lust by being faithful to our spouses and dressing appropriately around others. You know, Paul wrote finally here in, we find in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, he says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. These fleshly lusts that we've been talking about, he said they war against the soul. Now, it's not just sex. It's also other things, some of the fleshly lust out here that he's talking about is the promotion of it. It's also the desire to fulfill all the wants and desires of this flesh. And like we said before, some of it is greed, some of it is covetousness, and some of these other sins that his name falls in this category. But he said the flesh is always willing and working against the spirit to get us to sin and to remain in sin. God, however, has given us the tools we need to overcome this sin that's in the flesh through his son Jesus Christ. As Paul wrote there in Romans chapter 7, and in verse 25, there, as we read a few moments ago, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with this mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He said, why, O wretched man, in the verse before, that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, who can? And then he says, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We need to turn to him for our help and our needs. We need to turn to him to help us get past these demons that we battle and have to strive with, the selfishness, the greediness, the pride, the sexual or fleshly lust that comes upon us. You know, when we look at these things, and we look at what John said in 1 John over there, he said the things of this world. This world out here that we live in is a fleshly world, a physical world, and it's full of these things. And he says in verse 15 of chapter 2 of 1 John, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And that's exactly what Paul was describing over there in Romans chapter 7, as we read at the beginning, of how that war was going on between God and this world that we live in. He's not talking about the trees and the mountains and the streams. He was talking about the world of sin that is around us. He said, and this world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. If you're not in Christ today, you need to be in him to fight that battle, to help fight that battle, to overcome those demons in our lives. And we want to see, we're out of time. We want to thank you for being with us today and want you to think about these things and turn to God's Word for your instruction in this life to help you in all things. We want to invite you to always be back with us. And like we said before at the beginning, always welcome you in the services that we have and invite you. If you want a Bible study or have any questions or anything that we teach, feel free to ask. And at this time, we want to bid you a good day.